welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
Hey, Mike.
It's getting to be cold season, and with colds come sore throats, and sore throats come lots of antibiotics. The poem that you've chosen this week, I'll ask the clinical question and then back into a little bit of background here. The clinical question is, are strep throat decision rules effective in ruling out children and adults who do not need to be tested for group A beta hemolytic strep as a cause of their sore throat? So, sort of a long question, but what are we really saying here? Well, lots of people are coming in or will soon be coming in with sore throats. We know that most of them are viral in etiology. A small number, but a significant number, will have bacterial causes, and particularly a strep throat. So, you know, is there a way that we can decrease antibiotic use? And the first step in that is trying to determine who should we test for strep throat. And two researchers, Centaur and McIsaac, have come up with these decision rules. Most of us, most of our listeners, if they don't know the names, at least know the constellation of symptoms that contribute to this. There are several myths that surround pharyngitis, particularly strep throat, such as early treatment is going to prevent post-streptococcal glomerulonephritis. That's not true. If we treat more aggressively, we're going to wipe out rheumatic heart disease cases. These number of cases are teeny-weeny, and that if we treat, we're going to provide huge reduction in symptom relief. And again, the studies show that there's a little bit of symptom relief, but it's measured in hours, not even days. So it would be great if these guidance were actually effective. So Centaur and McIsaac, they differ a little bit, but in general, it's fever, absence of cough, tonsillar exudates, and swollen anterior cervical lymph nodes. This is a study published in Archives of Internal Medicine, and as I mentioned before, it's asking the question, hey, do these rules really help us in deciding who to test and who not to test? A pretty big study, Mark. What did they find?
Yeah, this was good. This Robert Center at University of Alabama developed this score a long time ago, 30 years ago, and then Warren McIsaac modified it by adding a point if you were under 15, and I think it was under 15, and then subtracting a point if you were older. So adults have a lower risk of strep. And so they looked at data in this study from over 200,000 patients who were 3 years and older who came in with a sore throat to a minute clinic. There are 580 minute clinics. And basically these are, urgent care, little mini clinics in a pharmacy, and they do acute care for minor illnesses. And they had great adherence to this acute pharyngitis protocol. That's one of the things in these clinics that's touted as a strength is they are fairly protocol driven. So if you have a good protocol, that can be a good thing. And they always required systematic collection of these signs and symptoms before they got the rapid antigen testing for group A beta hemolytic strep. And they compared the Center and McIsaac rules to the final diagnosis, and the gold standard was a DNA probe for most patients or a throat culture for the rest. And for those who were 15 years and older, only 7% who had a score of 0 had strep, and only 12% with a score of 1. Now, I guess the judgment call here is if someone has a 7 or 12% chance of strep, how excited should we get? And, I'm perfectly comfortable not treating that, knowing that the benefit of antibiotics is about 1 to 2 days fewer symptoms. You do have some benefit in terms of transmissibility, but by the time they've gotten to you, they've probably, communicability, and they've probably communicated to anyone they're going to communicate to. And, and in Europe, they would certainly, in most European countries, they don't even worry about strep that much. They're not nearly as excited about it as we are. So for kids 3 and older, it was a little higher, 8% and 14% in the McIsaac score of 0 or 1. So, it's a little higher percentages than in the original studies, so it didn't do quite as well. But I still think, good enough to guide practice. So, you know, if you have a kid with, you look at these four symptoms that we talked about, you take off a point if they're under 15, you add a point if they're over 45, and then, you know, if they have 0 or 1 points, I would say I'm perfectly comfortable not treating them. If they have 2 or 3 points, I'll get a rapid antigen test. And if they have 4 or 5, I'll consider treating empirically because the majority of those folks have strep. This approach that I just described is endorsed by the CDC, the AAFP, and the American College of Physicians. The American Academy of Pediatrics, I think, still says get a backup throat culture in case if it's negative. If a rapid test is negative, or if they're considered low risk, but you know, realistically, you know, other studies have shown in practice that you know those throat cultures rarely have any impact on care. They either are ignored, they never follow up. By then, the kid's feeling better, so an antibiotic is either not started or not discontinued. And so, you know, I'm not a big fan of that backup culture strategy, and neither, like I said, are the CDC or AFP.
Thank you, Mark. We will talk again next week.
All right.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.